couple of weeks ago, I took a vacation driving out to the Midwest to see some of my family. When I got back, I realized something remarkable. For 7 days, I had largely avoided all TV and radio and even the internet for the most part. It was one of the most relaxing things about my vacation. Doesn't it seem that nowadays we're constantly inundated from all directions with all sorts of information and ideas? Much of that information is very useful, but on the other hand, much of it is useless, and some of it is even destructive. How often do we stop to think about what we're learning and how what we're learning is shaping us to be who we are? Are we shaping our minds with the merely human wisdom of this age, or are we renewing our minds with the wisdom of God? Think about it. How much time do you spend watching TV? And yet, since we often watch to relax, we don't watch with a critical attitude. And so how much human wisdom are you or your family sort of just absorbing without any kind of critical analysis of what's going in? But think about it. How much of what we see on TV comes out of Hollywood or Madison Avenue? Do you really want Hollywood and Madison Avenue shaping your minds? And think about the internet. I mean, it can be very helpful, very useful, but also think of all the wrong-headed and even disgusting information just a few keystrokes away. Look at social media. Again, it can be very helpful. But it also, you can also find foolish, ignorant, and unprincipled people who are given a worldwide platform. I'm a big advocate of freedom of speech, but I'm also a big advocate of freedom of listening or not listening. Or think about the news we receive. You know, a couple years ago, there was a survey done that said that 90% of news reporters do not believe in God. And around the same time, another poll came out and said that about 90% of Americans believe in God. And yet, we so often uncritically let these people who think completely different than we do on the most fundamental issue form our minds. Even the best and most impressive human wisdom is limited. It makes mistakes, sometimes huge mistakes. I can remember not so long ago when scientists were telling us that the world was about to enter a new ice age. In the last century alone, the so-called wisest people of our time worked diligently on problems like political unrest, poverty, racism, starvation, and violence. And yet those problems are still around, and some are worse than ever. Merely human wisdom, so-called, isn't all it's cracked up to be. The fact is that if we form our minds and consciences by learning solely or even principally from human wisdom, we'll inevitably wind up leading a life full of confusion, frustration, disappointment, and even despair. But St. Paul offers us an alternative in today's letter to the Romans. He says, "Do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." He begs us to let divine wisdom enlighten our human wisdom so that we can begin to see and understand things as they really are. Elsewhere, he calls this putting on the mind of Christ. In today's gospel, we see what happens when we use human wisdom without divine wisdom. When Jesus tells the apostles that he has to go to Jerusalem to suffer and be killed, the scripture tells us today that St. Peter actually takes him aside and he says he rebuked him. Imagine rebuking Jesus. And he said, God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. And Jesus turns on him and says probably the most terrible thing ever said to anybody in Scripture. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as men do. Here the word, you know, the word Satan is a Hebrew word for enemy, but it also means the devil. And so there's a double meaning there. Now, to some this is very shocking, especially since just last week we read the text that comes right before this in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus calls Peter not his enemy, but the rock upon which he will build his church. The famous text of the institution of the papacy. How can he call Peter the rock one minute and then his enemy the next? The thing is, we believe that the promise Jesus made to Peter means that it was Christ's will and plan to build and protect his church by using the popes as a unifying source of direction and doctrine to help us to understand what we believe and to live it out. But we don't believe that everything every pope says or does is infallible dogma. And we especially don't believe that they can't make mistakes in their day-to-day personal life like the rest of us. They can't. In last week's gospel, Peter was teaching as the Pope, stating a central dogma of our faith that he had learned from Jesus himself and that divine grace had helped him to now understand. As he proclaims to Jesus, you are the Messiah. Infallible dogma, revealed by Christ, enlightened by grace, explained by Peter. But in this week's gospel, he's not really teaching at all. And he's clearly not taking from what Jesus had taught him, and he's clearly not being guided by divine grace. Instead, Peter is relying on simple, basic, and eminently fallible human wisdom, and he completely blows it. And Jesus tells him, you are not thinking as God does, but as men do. In his human wisdom, Peter looks to Jerusalem and sees only horrible suffering, and he doesn't want Jesus to go there. But Jesus looks to Jerusalem with the mind of God and sees not only his great suffering and his death on the cross, but he also sees the plan of the Father, the wisdom of the Father, coming to fulfillment in redemption for his children in the resurrection. Now, St. Peter's problem is a problem each of us faces every day of our life. All too often, we also don't think as God does, but as human beings do. For Peter, the issue was whether or not Jesus should suffer. For us, the issues usually aren't too much different. Jesus tells us, whoever wishes to come after me must take up his cross and follow me. But the wisdom of men does not like crosses. It rejects suffering. Rather, it often tells us that we should constantly be seeking pleasure and avoiding personal pain. So we see some of the so-called wisest people of this age embracing things that they say will somehow end suffering. They say things like abortion, euthanasia, divorce, and contraception will do that. And they tell us that pleasure is the purpose of living. And so we see a society more and more immersed in consumerism, materialism, sexual depravity, and escapism, and driven by greed, lust, power, and selfishness. That is the wisdom of man on his own. But the wisdom of God tells us, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. How do we know if we're thinking with human wisdom or divine wisdom? How do we go about transforming our minds in Christ? We begin by doing what we do when we want to know the mind of anyone. We talk to them and we spend time with them. And so, to take on the mind of God, we begin by talking with Him, by praying, and by spending time just being with God. What a great thing it is to spend time praying with the Lord, especially praying in the Lord, being in His presence here in the church, in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Like the psalm tells us today, the beautiful words, "So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory." That's what we do every time we come to church and we look at the tabernacle. That's what we do when we hold the host up. And we can do more than gaze. We can be with Him, spend time with Him in the most intimate way by receiving Him in Holy Communion. And when we really want to know the mind of another person, we also try to find out everything we can about them from other people. So in putting on the mind of God, we go to Scripture and tradition and the teaching of the church. And by the grace of God, as we begin to prayerfully let these teachings take root, we begin to experience the true transformation and the renewal of our minds in Christ. Some Catholics nowadays say that we don't have to listen to, much less obey, church teaching. That isn't how we should transform our minds. They say that the church and popes make mistakes, and the Vatican II told us that we have to obey our own conscience. It is true that many times individual priests, bishops, and cardinals, and sometimes even popes, make mistakes when they're teaching. But the constant teaching of the church that is passed down from Christ to the apostles to us through sacred scripture and sacred tradition, and applied and clarified through the centuries by prayerful teaching by the church's popes, councils, theologians, and saints, in that the church does not make mistakes, protected as it is by Christ's promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's fallible human beings in the church, relying on their own or others' merely human wisdom, that makes mistakes, just like Peter did in rebuking the Lord. And while it is true that we do have to obey our consciences, the conscience of a Catholic should be nothing less than a mind which is conformed to the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. You don't get to pick. Certainly you do get to pick, but if you pick one, you're wrong. When Vatican II, what it really taught was that Christians should, and I quote, "must always be governed according to a conscience dutifully conformed to the divine law and should be submissive toward the church's teaching office, which authentically interprets that law in the light of the gospel." So if the preliminary judgment of our conscience is not consistent with the mind of Christ, passed on to us through centuries of official teaching of the church, then we know that we're not using the wisdom of God, we're using the wisdom of man. We call this conforming our minds to the will of God the proper formation of conscience. The formation of conscience. This forming of conscience does not happen overnight. It's a steady process, the result of a concerted effort to pray, to spend time with the Lord, and to learn all we can about Him, especially through the teaching of the church. So it must begin as early as possible, from the first moments of childhood. It must begin at home with the family. It begins with daily family prayer. There's nothing sadder to me when I meet a little child, 6 or 7 or 8 years old, that doesn't know the Our Father, the Hail Mary, or how to make the sign of the cross. Moms and dads should gather together with their children, with the Lord, and teach them their Catholic prayers, and teach them that the Lord listens to the prayers. Praying before meals, before bed, and for particular needs, praying the family rosary and coming to Mass together every Sunday. So many ways that there are to pray as a Catholic family. And it begins by parents teaching their children about Jesus and His church. Parents, do you ever just talk about Jesus at the dining room table at dinner? Do you talk about the day's events in the light of the gospel or church's teaching when you're watching the news and something strange comes on, or some TV show and something immoral comes on? Do you draw your child's attention to it if it's appropriate and explain why that's wrong and what the church tells us and why the church is right? When you're in your car driving home from Mass on Sunday, do you talk to your children about the readings or the homily or the Eucharist? When someone makes fun of your son or daughter at school, do you remind them that they also made fun of Jesus and then they killed him, but he rose on the third day? Last week, parents sent their kids back to school. I asked parents, does the school you send your kids to teach them to conform to merely human wisdom? Or does it help them to transform their minds to think as God does? Does it teach them to seek the truth? And if you get the wrong answer to those questions, what are you doing about it? Have you thought about changing schools? Have you thought about homeschooling? Or at least have you made a plan for a concerted, systematic effort at home to counter the problem, the deficit, the corruption of the school? Do you make the effort to bring them to CCD, to religious education, so that they can spend at least an hour learning what the church teaches after they spend multiple hours at school learning what the world teaches? And do you make them do their CCD homework with the same diligence as they do their math homework? Almost every moment in our lives, we learn something. But when we learn, what is it that we learn? Do we form our minds and consciences by the eternal truth of God's mind or merely the infallible changing opinions of men? Do we imitate Peter as he listens to the mind of the Father and teaches, "You are the Messiah"? Or do we imitate him when he listens to his own human wisdom and weakness and is rebuked by Christ, "Get behind me, Satan"? We live in an age of much information and great human learning. And this is a great blessing in so many ways. But we must remember, not all information is true or helpful. And merely human learning can often be terribly flawed and even destructive in its error. Today, as we come to pray, to gaze on and receive our Lord in the sanctuary and listen to His word, may these words of St. Paul be seared into our minds and our hearts. Do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.